Welcome to our new podcast, and we've decided to call it a Bold Explorer's Guide. Dot dot dot.
Yes.
Why have we called it that, James?
Well, I suppose we're following up on our book, which we wrote, called A Bold Explorer's Guide to Organizational Development, and I think that's led us on to want to talk about other things. And I think we're being slightly ironic about being bold explorers, aren't we, really? Because I'm not sure I'm that bold. Are you bold?
I am sometimes. I can look back occasionally and I think I've done something bold, but not generally.
So anyway, Bold Explorer's Guide it is. And this one is a Bold Explorer's Guide to Practice-Based Learning, which are our work on organisational development and our thinking and our writing about organisational development led us on to thinking about practice, didn't it?
Yep.
About all aspects of practice as it shows up in things like action learning and self-managed learning and action research and all those different flavors of practice-based learning, which felt important to us.
Yeah. And of interest, is it worth just saying a little bit about the connection between or our walk from organization development about to practice-based learning?
So
what was our walk, our journey to that?
What was it? That's a good question. I suppose it was about wanting to get close to the grain of work as possible.
Hmm.
I think our thinking about organizational development and our work around it was really moving us towards this idea of being real about things and not being theoretical. And I think that led us to this idea about how we showed up and how we present ourselves and how we, you know, embody stuff, you know, in ourselves and our own stories about that. And I think that led to this idea of practice.
And for me, it was also a push away from something. So that push away from were those sort of models and frameworks that I see and come across very, very frequently, like the Bert Letwin model of this, or the freeze movement, unfreeze type models, or Edgar Schein's models of artifacts and culture. I am fascinated about what people actually do.
They make it very abstract, don't they? I mean, not that we're knocking Schein or anything like that, because people immediately switch off if we do that, but what I suppose I would want to say in agreement is absolutely that idea of, you know, those are just abstract notions, and practice is messy, isn't it? And I think we're vulnerable in it, and we show up, and it's about us as people, and there's something unique about it as well. It's happening in a context as well, isn't it? It's interesting in that context too.
Absolutely. So when I'm working, every time I work with a new group, I'm driving to work and I'm thinking to myself, there's that nerves and the anxiety that lives with me as I'm driving along. I'm rehearsing things that are going through my mind and all the rest of it. Yeah. It's something about what is our practice, even as we anticipate moving into these new situations.
And there's a paradox, isn't there? Because if we're talking about practice-based learning being in a context of complexity, then we don't really know the answer. We can't, because we can't control the future. We know it's going to emerge according to the rules of chaos mathematics to a certain extent. But actually, we can't show up in that vulnerability, because otherwise people will feel vulnerable, too vulnerable themselves. You know, I have a T-shirt which I wear sometimes, which says, "I don't know what I'm doing." It's a real T-shirt that I wear sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, and it's to kind of address that paradox of vulnerability of practice, because actually I'm in a new situation here, and I've got to artfully be vulnerable. You know, I've got to kind of be cleverly vulnerable, otherwise people won't play.
So what does it say on the back of the T-shirt? I'm doing it very well.
It's blank. It's blank. A bit like me sometimes. Yeah. People ask me a difficult question. But I think that says something about that, the context of the world,
Yeah.
which is of, you know, the unprecedented and discontinuous kind of change that we're in, and, you know, working in organizations where people really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and they have to spend their time acting as if they can plan a not knowable future.
Is it also worth saying something about the style of this podcast as well? Because I think it also relates to that, because although we come to these podcasts with thought and things to say, our vulnerability also shows up in our podcasts.
And how might it do that?
So, for example, we're talking now, and as I'm talking, speaking for myself, I know that other people will probably be listening to it. So it's that sort of contradiction between having something sensible to say but not having something so scripted that it squeezes the life out of it.
So there's a sense of the flow of the river, but without knowing exactly where it's leading around the next bend.
So where might this take us then? What sort of topics might we sort of explore in this field?
So when we're talking about practice-based learning, we're talking about, as I mentioned earlier, all the kind of traditional forms of practice-based learning, and things like action learning and self-managed learning and the 70-20-10 model of the Center for Creative Leadership and all of that kind of thing, which have all become a bit, in my view, and again, I'm going to be bold here, become a bit stuck and a bit stale and a bit modelly. What I like, you know, sometimes call it, they become thingified, you know, as if they're the truth. And I think what we're trying to do is to kind of think about, well, how can that be freshened up a bit? And how can it be turned into something that's more personal to people and perhaps a bit more creative, a bit more artful? You know, we talk about John Schotter's idea, which he borrowed from Goethe, of experiencing experience, you know, so rather than abstracting my experience, really getting into the grain of what it is I'm really experiencing right now, into my body, to my feelings, to my breath, noticing what emerges there and wondering what ideas then inform what I do next in what I'm practicing, how I show up. And therefore, what I say and what I do that makes a difference to us.
Absolutely. And I love John's work and that idea that he was very keen on exact sensorial imagination of you know, how do we pay attention to what it is we're doing at that particular moment. So that's going to feature strongly. And if it's anything to do with John, we'll also probably be dipping into Wittgenstein at some point.
Because you want to dip into a bit of Wittgenstein. That reminds me of a picture of a boiled egg, you know, Wittgenstein's face on it. And we're going to dip into it with our with our soldiers of curiosity.
our soldiers of curiosity, yes, our eggy soldiers.
Eggy soldiers of curiosity, into dipping into Wittgenstein.
So where else are we going? We've drawn a map, though, haven't we? So where are we going next?
Well, we've got a bit about practice, about artful inquiry. We've been asked to, you know, edit a special edition of Action Research Journal, so no doubt we'll be talking about that at times. So how the artful interposes into practice. Where we're talking about stillness and silence, which for some people might be a blessing, because we might not talk for a bit. A lot of it will be around the discomfort with not knowing, with not being, you know, how do we manage that paradox of discomfort, not knowing? And of talking about examples from our practice of, for example, working in the government department that I've been working in, where we've been talking about getting learning close to the grain of the action and introducing that idea of bungaroosh.
Oh, yes, yeah. Tell me again what bungaroosh is all about.
Well, bungaroosh is a Brighton version of bricolage, which is a French version of this idea of building with whatever's to hand locally. And it's a craft, it's quite an artful craft of building with whatever you can, whatever exists, you know, on the site of the building site. You know, in Brighton, it's bits of old rubble and flints from the South Downs and pebbles from the beach and all mushed together, but in a quite an artful way in concrete that, or cement, that creates walls.
Yeah.
And you know, that in a way is what practice often is, isn't it? It's that working with whatever's to hand, but not doing it randomly, doing it with some skill of placement. And that I think relates to knowledge in the digital age.
Yeah.
And, you know, universities and other institutions and organizations under threat from digitally available knowledge, which undermines their authority and creates a very different way in which generations of the future will understand and learn and know stuff.
Absolutely.
It's already happening, isn't it? It's already have an impact. What will happen in organizations, what people will be talking about, what will be fashionable.
Yep.
All of these things will interpose and need to interpose. So that means there's stuff we genuinely don't know.
Yeah. And of course, when people show up in organizations, what is it that they bring from their own private lives and their own situations that they, because all that intermingles with it as well, doesn't it?
And I'm going to be moving house twice as we do this. So I'm going to be kind of loopy probably for half of it. So
so we'll be hearing all about it then.
Yeah, you'll be hearing all about my crazy house moves. Yeah.
On that note, should we draw it to a close?
I think probably we should.